May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord gives you, as given to your forefathers. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Lord, we thank you for speaking on our hearts. There's a place in Hosea that says that God led them into the wilderness and spoke on their hearts. This is from Exodus 15. Now they've just come out of the Red Sea. They're just now doing their journey. It was a journey that was supposed to last for 11 days. It was a wilderness time, but it was supposed to be an 11-day wilderness. It ended up being a 40-year wilderness because when they got to the place of Kadesh Barnea, they couldn't believe God to cross in to take the land that God had already given them. They weren't possessing it yet, but God said it was already theirs. And all they had to do is go and, by faith, possess their possessions. The land of Canaan, the book of Joshua talks about it so much. It's very similar in the Old Testament book to the Ephesians in the New Testament. The land of Canaan represents our victorious life in Christ, spirit-filled living, the life that Jesus Christ himself lives through us abundantly. And a lot of people, when they talk about Joshua and the land of Canaan, Israelites going into the land of Canaan, again, like Ephesians, it's about going in and possessing what was already their possessions. And so they were supposed to have an 11-day journey there. But because of their unbelief, they saw 10 of the spies, 10 of the guys went and gave a report, said they're like giants, we can't face them. Caleb and Joshua said they're we can take them. God's promised, it's already ours, we just got to go in and by faith claim it. But they didn't believe the two. They believed the 10, the earth's report, and they spent 40 years in the wilderness. Thing about a wilderness is that God led them, even though he said he led them those 40 years. Now he led them into the wilderness and he led them about in the wilderness for 40 years, but their time in the wilderness got extended because of their unbelief. There are going to be places that we walk through that are like wilderness times. And God intends to use those things in our lives. And here's the thing that's important. Your capacity to possess your possessions in the land of Canaan will be determined by how much you've learned to trust him in the wilderness. But you don't want to, in the wilderness, steward such unbelief that you extend the time that God originally meant for you to walk through. Because he used the wilderness to see what was in their heart. There was a lot of grumbling. If you know anything about their story, they were just constantly complained and grumbled. There was a lot of stuff in their hearts, but also to teach them how to live by faith, where they learn to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And in Exodus 15, when they come up out of the Red Sea and they go into this wilderness that was supposed to only last 11 days, it says this. It says in verse 22, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea. They went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah, because that's the Hebrew word for bitter. So people grumbled at Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now they just came through the Red Sea. You know what I'm saying? The Red Sea was parted. It was a miracle. He held out his rod, God parted the Red Sea, and he swallowed up all the army of Egypt. That's a pretty big miracle. But now they can't believe God for water. This is their first test in the wilderness after being in there 3 days. And so he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw the tree into the waters, and the waters became sweet. And there he made for them a statute and a regulation, and there he tested them. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you I've put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. There's a bunch of cool stuff in here, but I wanted to just simply see this, is that what was the point of the 11 days in the wilderness? What was God trying to do? When you think about it, the first thing they come to, their first real stop after 3 days, is Marah. And there's water there, but the waters are bitter. And the people start to complain, grumbling, where will we get water? And so what God did, he performed a miracle. And he turned the bitter water into sweet. And then the very next place they went to was Elim, which had 12 fountains and all these date palms. And it was an oasis. Why didn't God take them to the oasis first? Why did they have to come to the place of Marah first? Because God was trying to teach them how to believe. If they were going to walk into Canaan, if they were going to believe God for the victory that he's already promised, when everything looks like giants in the land and they look like grasshoppers compared to them, if they were going to believe God for that and go in and take and possess their possessions, and for us as New Testament believers, possess their possessions in Christ, our possessions in Christ, then they needed to learn how to believe. But they didn't. And the 11 days turned into 40 years. So there's a dual thing here for you, a couple of simple things. We've been talking about the wilderness some lately because we've been going after some stuff around here, and the Lord's allowed the enemy to throw the kitchen sink at some of us. And why has God done that? Because if we're going to walk in the things that God's told us we're going to walk in, it's going to take a measure of faith that we're not walking in yet. And God uses the wilderness to teach us to live by faith. Again, I'll say to you, your capacity and my capacity to, by faith, possess my possessions in Christ will be determined by how much we learn to trust him in the wilderness. And if we don't learn to trust him in the wilderness, you know what God does? Or what God allows? For the wilderness to get expanded until we finally get it. And when they finally got it, there were only two left from that generation. I'd rather there be more of me left than that, wouldn't you? I'd like to get it the first 11 days, not 40 years later. Because there are battles to be fought. In that place, you know, we've been talking about this lately. There's a place, why are you going through what you're going through? Because there's a victory that God wants you to break through into in an area in your life, whatever it might be, from which you'll never stop advancing. And the enemy will suffer a defeat from which he'll never, ever recover. But once we get there, we're going to need to exercise more faith there than we have here. They were in battles every day in the land of Canaan. But they also lived in the land of milk and honey. The land of blessing, the land of favor, the land of victory was also a land of battle. And the battles that we have to fight here, if we can't believe God for these, we'll never believe him for those. And God doesn't intend us to stick our nose into that place and go, that was nice. He wants us to keep advancing. And the whole thing is about faith. And so I was just repenting to the Lord this morning. And about 6:30 this morning when I'd not gone to sleep yet. I grumbled so much so that I'd run out of things to grumble about. You ever done that? I mean, I'd complain so much that I actually ran out of things I didn't know what else to say. And it's kind of like the Lord is so sweet and He's so patient. It's kind of like, oh, okay, are you through yet? And, you know, I just told the Lord this morning, I just said, you know, Lord, I'm walking through a wilderness because that's the only route to get where I need to go, where we need to go. There was no other way. They couldn't get around it. They had to go through it to get to Canaan. Jesus had to go through it to come out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I don't want to extend this farther than what You sovereignly want me to go through because of unbelief. And again, that's the real battle, isn't it? It's not all the jazz that goes on around us. It's about the enemy's after what? Our hearts. He's after our faith. Because that's where faith happens, in our heart. So, let's do the wilderness in victory. It's a lot more fun to do the wilderness for 11 days than it is for 40 years. I don't want to waste any time in a whole generation of my life be wasted in the wilderness. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.